Okay, hello everyone. This is the Parent Success Club, and my name is Damaris Simmons, and today we're going to be talking about study skills for successful students. We want our kids all to be successful in life, and I think we can all agree that starting with school and being successful in school really helps set them up to be successful in life. And so we're going to be talking about some different skills, study skills that we can be teaching our kids so that they can be successful in school. Now, first of all, I do need to apologize. I have had a bit of a cold, so my voice sounds a little bit strange. So I do apologize for that. But I'm going to plug through and we'll go through this presentation. So, we're going to actually be talking about six steps to smarter studying for our kids. And we're going to talk about paying attention in class. We're going to talk about taking good notes, how we can teach our kids to do that. Talk about planning ahead for tests, especially for, big tests and big projects. And how kids can break it down, break down the maybe a large workload or a large amount of homework that can feel very, very overwhelming to them, and how they can ask, teach them how to ask for help when they get stuck, and also how sleep, getting a good night's sleep plays into all of this. So those are the main points that we're going to go over today. And then I'm also going to be showing you the learning pyramid to keep in mind for your children and their learning style and how our brains, learn differently. So we're going to go into, first of all, that our kids, the very first thing we need to address with our kids is the idea of paying attention. And that good studying and learning starts with that. First is this paying attention and focus in class. And we need to ask our kids these questions, first of all, to kind of help address if there's issues going on in class. Because as we know, teachers, depending on the age of your children, teachers can have, anywhere from a few kids if it's like preschool to, 30 kids if it's in high school. And so teachers can address some of this, but definitely we are the ones that need to be addressing this first and foremost with our children. So we need to ask them if they have trouble paying attention in class, and just ask them, is it easy or hard for you to focus in class? Do you have difficulty with that? And see what they say. So that's a question we can ask. Another one is, are they sitting around like really loud people or kids that are really distracting to them? And see what they answer and what their thoughts are on that. And then another one that we need to make sure and ask our kids, is it hard for them to see the board? Because our children's eyesight can change. I know this actually happened to me in third grade, and they don't realize it's happening. But all of a sudden it's harder and harder for them to see the board. But when they've never had glasses or realize, what's going on, they don't, it's just kind of reality to them. And so they just sit there and struggle with that. And so, of course, we want our kids' eyesight tested every year, but we can also test at home. Hold up some words and ask our kids, have them stand a ways off, and ask them to read it and see how their eyesight's doing. I know my oldest, he wears glasses. He actually wears contacts now, but we did that with him and started realizing that he was starting to, struggle with his eyesight and needed help. So we do need to make sure that they can see the information that's being presented in class so that they can be learning that information from their teachers. So there's three really important questions to ask our kids. First of all, again, do you have trouble paying attention in class? And see what they say. Are you sitting next to a loud person, and is it hard for you to see the board? I know my oldest, and I didn't actually ask him this question. It kind of, it became apparent to me because of our conversations that he has a pre-calculus class. He's in high school, and he, kind of kept sharing these stories about the kids that sit around him and how much they talk and stuff like that. And so I, talked to him about, what he could do about that. So we need to go into problem solving. When they do have an issue going on in school that is inhibiting their learning, we can problem solve with them. This, we want them to empower them to be able to solve it, but we definitely need to help them, identify what's going on, and then brainstorm with them what they can do. And so, them being able to talk to their teacher, being able to move, these kinds of issues. Of course, if there's the eyesight problem, getting that addressed immediately as well. So that's kind of the first place we want to start with our kids, is making sure, the environment they're in school and their class, that they are able to focus and learn. The next one is taking good notes. So some kids don't know, how to take good notes because they've never been taught how to. And the first thing we need to point out to our kids is taking good notes is first starts with writing down. Well, they can write down what the teacher's talking about, but the first place they want to start is the teacher shares anything on the board. If the teacher writes anything on the board or shares, a PowerPoint or something like that that has main points, that they need to be writing those down. If the teacher is presenting it visually like that, it is definitely an important point that the teacher's sharing, an important information that they want the kids to be aware of and learn, that's probably going to come up on their quiz or tests. And then we also need to make sure our kids know when they're taking notes, they need to be able to read neatly so that they can read it later on. If they're just writing it down really messy, then they won't be able to read their notes. So again, I tell lots of stories about my own kids, and my oldest, I asked him if he takes notes in class because he's in high school, and he kind of was like, kind of not so much. And I asked him if he was writing down what the teachers write on the board, and he said, "Oh yeah, I'm definitely writing that down." And so, we had a discussion about how that's definitely where note-taking starts, is writing those down so that he is actually doing that. So that's great. So the next point for studying is to teach them how to plan ahead, and that they'll be so glad if they plan ahead. We want to make sure that they understand, if they have a big exam on Friday, waiting till Thursday night, and we ask them questions and help them discover this on their own. What happens if they wait till Thursday, start studying for this big exam, and how is that going to affect them? And teach them that, our brain can only incorporate and take in so much new information right away. And it takes multiple exposures to information for our brain to really connect with it and learn the information well. And so we want to make sure and teach them about time management and like having a calendar. Ask them if they want some kind of calendar that they really like, or an agenda. I know two of my children, their schools supply them with agendas, and they use those, and I really appreciate the teachers that use them and teach them that skill in school. And so they learn to start jotting down, their homework and keep track of that, and their big tests and projects, and so that they can break that down and study, or work on projects little by little, instead of having this like, last minute, oh my goodness, this is due tomorrow, I forgot about it, and procrastination and the stress and overwhelm that comes with that. Another thing is, do our kids know how to manage their time after school? So we've got, again, time management skills. Of course, kids want to come home and take a break, but are they taking a 2-hour break and they have a lot of homework? So we need to help them learn and understand, how to schedule their time. And again, we can ask them questions, help them develop a plan for their after school time. And another thing we've got to be really careful of as parents is overscheduling our kids with activities after school. You know, sometimes, you know, we want them involved in so many good things, but is that taking away from their study time and their homework time? I know at one point I had a couple of my boys in, they were in swim team. They were actually were playing soccer. They had Cub Scouts. They were taking piano. Like, it was crazy, 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 crazy. And I learned at that point, it was making me totally stressed and overwhelmed. And I was just this grouchy parent, you know, just trying to get them to the next thing. And it wasn't leaving them the time they needed for studying. And they actually ended up really not liking, you know, the activities very much because it, you know, it was too much. So we've really got to be aware as parents about, you know, scheduling their time and not overscheduling the activities. I've actually found that two activities per child is a really good number. And most of my kids' activities are not every night. It's, you know, like my son has piano, but he does practice every night, but he has piano lessons once a week. They have scouts once a week, you know, things like that. Every once in a while, they'll do sports as well. So that's, again, planning ahead, teaching our kids how to plan ahead, especially for the test and big projects, and how to do that. The time management skills, we can teach them. If we don't have them ourselves, we definitely need to learn them so we can teach them to our kids. Keep that in mind. The next one is that we need to help them learn how to break it up. So sometimes they end up with a large, large amount of homework, and they get very, very overwhelmed. And so how they can break that down into small chunks and how our brain really needs that too. If, say, they have spelling, maybe they have 20 new spelling words every week, instead of trying to learn all of the words, which, again, is, you know, can be very overwhelming to them, and their brain can get to where, you know, they can't remember them very well. If they broke it down to maybe five a night, so they're working really diligently on, you know, writing those five words, saying them out loud, having you quiz them on those five words, and then the next night move to the next one, and then maybe a quick review of the first five. So some way of just helping them, you know, break it up so that their brain can learn the information. Another thing is studying with a partner. Teach them that you're available to help them study, or if they have, when they're older, if they have someone, a friend they can get together with, that they, you know, study partner, that's a great way of relaying information. Teaching the information to each other, sharing it, you know, discussing it, all wonderful, wonderful ways for the brain to remember the information. Again, you can offer to, you know, quiz them, you know, they have vocabulary words or spelling words or, you know, whatever it is, that's very helpful. And then studying regularly instead of just the night before. Again, teaching our kids how the brain works so they understand how their brain, you know, functions, and that, you know, going over the information a couple different nights before, you know, like a test, is much more helpful than cramming the night before. So, you know, regular studying is very, very beneficial to them. And I know, here's another little story. Again, my oldest is in high school this school year. He had a weekend, a Saturday. He had a ton of homework. He doesn't often have he does have some, but he doesn't have a ton. And this happened about a month and a half ago. He had a ton of homework on the weekend. He was completely overwhelmed, shared with me, you know, how much he had to do. And I said, wow, you know, that is a lot. So how are you going to chunk that up so you can manage it and, you know, check it off and see the progress you're making and feel great about it? And about 20 minutes later, he called me to our main family computer that he was working on and said, Mom, look what I made. And he'd gone into Excel and made himself a spreadsheet with all of the different things he needed to work on, the different assignments and reading and problems and you know, kind of by topic or by subject. And he was going through and showed me how he's going to highlight them when he was finished. And you know, he just kind of worked through the day. He'd work on one or two, and then he'd stop and take a little break, and then he'd go back to it. And every once in a while, I'd check in with him and say, "Wow, you know, look how much you've gotten done," or you know, just kind of keep encouraging him. So it worked well. So breaking it up, helping our children break up, you know, when they have a large amount of work. Okay, we do need to teach our kids how to ask for help. So some kids think that, you know, asking for help means they're not intelligent. Maybe, you know, for some reason they think that, you know, that they're dumb or something if they ask questions. Excuse me. Apologize for my voice here. And but we need to teach them that teachers are there to help them understand the material, that is the role of a teacher. Oh, excuse me, I'm going to have to cough. Just a moment, please. I apologize. Wish I could completely get rid of this cold. So again, we need to teach them that the role of teachers is to help them understand the information, and that teachers love to help their students learn. That shows that the students are interested, that they're engaged, you know, when they ask questions, and it helps other students learn as well. So we need to encourage them to ask questions. If, like, when they're in elementary school and they're kind of nervous and new at that, have them role play with you. You know, raising their hand and asking a question. And we also need to teach them that we are available as parents for help, that they can ask us questions as well, you know, when they're at home. And so it's really important to empower them with the ability to ask for help when they need it, and not to be nervous or scared or feel that they're, you know, that they're dumb if they do that. Okay, so ask for help. And then the last point is that they need to get a good night's sleep. Our brains and our bodies need sleep, and our children definitely need that as well. And they need more than we do as adults. And our brains need time to digest information. And so sleep is a great time for our bodies to rest. Then we wake up invigorated, our brain, you know, ready to go, ready to learn. And so good night's sleep, especially for before exams, you know, when our kids get older and they want to stay up till midnight, 1 in the morning, and you know, they get like 4 hours of sleep, they're tired the next day. It's really difficult, you know, to take an exam really well under those conditions. So good night's sleep is important to teach our kids. It's important to model to our children the value of sleep. And elementary age kids need they need 10 hours of sleep. That's roughly what they need. And middle school and high schoolers really need around 9. And I actually was reading some reports that said that actually high schoolers usually get only like 7 to 7.5 is kind of the average amount that they're getting. So they're, you know, not getting close to what they need. I know my high schooler, he gets 8 to 8.5 hours of sleep. He does not get the 9, and I know it would do him a world of good if he did. So keep that in mind, that the sleep, very, very important for our kids, for their learning as well, and to encourage that and teach that to our kids. And then the last thing I wanted to talk about was the learning pyramid. And this is something really important to actually be aware of for ourselves and to teach our children. We can, if you type in, if in Google, learning pyramid, it'll come up. There's, you know, a lot of different people have made it. There's colorful versions, black and white versions. So the one I have here is a colorful, like a rainbow version. And what it does is it shows, and this is, you know, this has been shown and tested, and you know, research behind this, that the brain, you know, the retention, learning retention rate, that only 5% retention happens when kids are lectured, when they're learning through lecture. And so that includes us as parents. You know, when we are just lecturing our kids or just verbally explaining something to them, they are only going to retain 5%, roughly 5% of what we just told them. So that is the least effective way of learning is through lecture. And so when our kids, you know, in school, if the teacher's just lecturing, again, you know, they're not going to be retaining as much. It goes up when they read it, is it goes up to around 10%. So then when they read information, they're going to retain about 10% of what they're learning. So that's an increase from the lecturing. Again, it's kind of low though, and that's approximate, you know, for every person's a little different. But that's what's been shown, you know, just kind of in general. And then it goes up to 20% retention when there's some type of audiovisual involved. So like a video, pictures, you know, some type of audiovisual that kids can see increases their retention of the information up to 20%. So right up around 20%. When there's some type of a demonstration that happens, it actually goes up to 30%. So, you know, maybe a teacher's demonstrating, you know, how to solve math problems or demonstrating, you know, a science, some type of effect, cause and effect, or, you know, some type of demonstration is going on. That goes up to 30% retention. If there's a discussion, so it's not just the parent or teacher just lecturing at the student or child, but there's a discussion going on, you know, back and forth information being shared, then 50% retention happens with a discussion. It bumps up to 75% when kids actually practice doing it. So when they actually use, you know, their hand and they write and they do it, they do, you know, they actually do the math problem themselves, you know, they're actually solving it. That's when retention goes up to around 75%. And then when they teach it to someone else, when they're able to teach it to someone else, they have 90% retention rate. And that's why it's nice with partners. You know, partners kind of can fulfill that. The discussion, which is 50%, and then the 90% if they're actually kind of teaching it back and forth to each other. So I just wanted everyone to be aware of this, of the learning pyramid, and teach it to your kids. Show them how powerful, you know, going and actually practicing their problems. I know with my kids, my husband and I, you know, say, well, you need to sit down and actually do the problem. You know, that's going to help you the most. It's really nice if they see, you know, the learning pyramid and see like, this is the reason why. So this is teaching them, you know, why doing the math problems is so important, because it's going to help them learn and retain that information much, much more effectively. So anyway, I just encourage you to look at that. Again, you can Google that and look at it for yourself. I know for different kids, it is you know, children have different learning styles. I do know that for my middle son, he has auditory issues, and so he can only listen to so much information, and then his brain basically just shuts off. And so if his teachers just get up more to lecture, 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 like he is not going to get very much of the information. And I know when I am verbally explaining things to him, you know, after about a minute, he's done. If I show him or he hands on, you know, he that's the type of learner that he is, does much, much better. So it is good to be aware of the type of learners that our children are, so we can help them be successful and learn. And we can share that information with their teachers. Sometimes they can accommodate it more than other times, depending on the grade and what's going on. But it is important to share that information with their teachers as well. Just setting them up for success. And so that winds up the presentation for today about study skills and our successful students, successful children. And if you have any questions, I'm going to go ahead and unmute. I actually need to go grab a quick drink of water for my throat. I'll be right back. And you're always welcome to go to Parents Tool Shop.